The Ryan Tubridy Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Broadband. With our broadband, your world is limitless. Live beyond.
Good morning all, Ryan Tubridy with you this Thursday morning. It's the 13th of February 2020 and we're here till 10 o'clock. The text number is 51551. You can email us on ryan@rte.ie. Much to discuss today. Very good guy called Gordon Goodwin is going to come in and talk to us about dyslexia. Not only his own, but his son's, and how you can hide from it and you can run from it, but eventually you have to confront it. And he's going to talk about that today, because I think it's misunderstood for a lot of people. And then again, there's a stigma probably still attached to it, unfairly. And a lot of people of kind of my age, which is pretty much where Gordon is, who didn't really have it dealt with properly maybe at school because no one really understood it, and it's changed dramatically. So we'll get to that later on, and much more besides. We're very excited, obviously, because tomorrow is Valentine's Day, which means it's the Valentine's special on The Late Late Show. And I was very heartened when even my own mother this morning on the phone as I was driving in was saying, she's like, I'm looking forward to that one tomorrow. I said, of all the shows, I didn't think that would be the one. She said, no, I love the crack. So good on her. And we have good fun tomorrow night lined up for you. I mean, you can really, I mentioned to Maureen the other day that we will be talking to, or at least talking to and hearing from, a little cheese board, as we like to offer it. I mean, people around my vintage will immediately go, oh yes, I am the one and only Chesney Hawks, yes. And when I mention Chesney Hawks to people during the week, I hear different things like, I had a t-shirt with his face in it. Somebody else I was talking to yesterday went to his gig. He did a gig, and I can't recall the other hit, but he did have a second hit that was big, but it passed me by. But anyway, I think he's good fun and he's up for a laugh tomorrow. And then of course we have Marty Pellow from Wet Wet Wet, and he's a guy that he's coming in as well, so it's gonna be just a lot of fun tomorrow night. And Marty Pellow, and do you know what, for one second I nearly said Marty Whelan, but he's otherwise engaged. Marty Pellow of Wet 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 will come in and sing not once, but a number of times for us tomorrow. The lads reckon, and I say I'm a little bus throw here, but the lads reckon that in Angel Eyes by Wet Wet Wet, Marty Pellow belches. Now I listen to this and I think it's him going, it's vocal fry rather than a belch. So can we just sort this out between ourselves? It's from the song Angel Eyes. And halfway, I'm pitting myself against them on this one. They reckon halfway during this, the guy belches. Sick of leaving in the morning with the night you gave away. No, that's not it. That's not a burp. Do it again. No, he's getting, it's like the podcast serious. We're like super excited. It's vocal fry. One more time and then I'll leave it. Sick of leaving in the morning with the night you gave away. I don't know. Marty Pellow on The Late Late Show tomorrow night with among many other people and stories from all around the country celebrating love and other things besides. The oldest man in the world is 112. I went to a school yesterday, St. Attractus, to say goodbye to Mirren, the school principal, who's retiring after a number of years. Wonderful school, wonderful principal. Went to speak to all the third classes who were bunched together, and the fourth classes, and the fifth classes, and the sixth classes, and all the teachers. And then we had a cup of coffee in the staff room afterwards, the hallowed staff room. Always get the fear going through that door, but nevertheless, lovely bunch of people. And I said to Mirren, so how's the retirement looking? And she said, well, I said, any plans? She said, well, I think the whole point of having a retirement is that we don't have to make plans anymore. I said, you're dead right. So I hope you enjoy planning doing nothing. And she said, well, I just want to spend some more time with my folks now. They're 96 and 100 living together. I said, God, the world has moved on dramatically. Anyway, we wish her well in her retirement, and all teachers who are thinking of doing the same thing, wonderful. But this guy is in Japan. He's a retired Japanese farmer, named the oldest man on the planet Earth at 112 and 344 days. And the only reason I mention him is because he said that the secret to a long life is not to get angry and keep a smile on your face. So he's obviously never been on Twitter. The father of five, who used to work on a sugarcane plantation, says that he's still got a sweet tooth despite losing all his teeth, and loves custard pudding and cream puffs because they don't need to be chewed. Fair enough. That's good. So think about that for a moment. Don't get angry. Keep smiling and eat sweets. I think this is a great philosophy and one I can completely buy into and get to 112. Good Lord. Now, the coronavirus, they've given it another name just to complicate the bejesus out of our lives. It's now called COVID-19, which sounds pretty serious. And it is serious because it's getting more and more intense, as you know, and pretty horrible what's happening. And the health organisations are now urging people to engage in basic protective measures. By that they mean wash your hands. And wash your hands properly. We've talked about washing your hands properly before. They said don't simply rinse in the sink. It's not sufficient anymore. They say you must wash your hands for at least 20 seconds. And when you think about washing your hands, somebody would stood beside you at the sink in the bathroom or the men's, whatever, and for 20 seconds. It's a long time. You'd think, God, that person is pretty particular. And maybe a bit mad, but they're saying that's what it has to be for preventative action to be effective, a good 20 seconds. I'm a divil for the hand sanitizer now, I have to say, because in the line of duty, you shake a lot of hands, but also the filth of my fellow humans. The men's toilet is a hazard. It's like the reptiles house in Dublin Zoo. The amount of men, because I don't hang out in the ladies' toilets, be glad to know, who leave the toilet, particularly the cubicles, and then without washing their hands, and then hold the handle of the door, and then shake your hand, then use the computer. It's just a filth fest. So hand sanitizer all the way, and I always carry it now. And I would have thought I'd never do it years ago, but definitely now. Hand washing for 20 seconds feels a bit long. Then there's another guy, a professor in England, who's saying don't hug or kiss in order to stop the spread of the coronavirus. And this is a virologist called Professor John Oxford. He's at the Queen Mary University in the UK. He says coronavirus is a social virus, and it doesn't like it in this part of the world compared to China, because we're a bit more standoffish, particularly probably in the UK, a bit more here as well. What we need to do is less handshaking or hugging and kissing, that sort of thing, because this virus looks like it's spread by ordinary tidal breathing, not necessarily colds and coughing. And the world is in the early phases of a global pandemic at the moment. So that's nice and terrifying for us all. And the Irish Examiner tells us, meanwhile, that over in the UK, half of the adults there take mobile phones with them to the toilets. And that's got to be probably a bit manky also. Let's face it, many people suffer financial loss by taking expensive items with them into the bathroom, and then they get lost, broken, down the toilet, all into the bath or whatever it might be. We are so addicted to our mobile devices that you take them to the toilet, alongside the health risk of using these devices on the lavatory. Taking them to the bathroom will be costly if they're dropped down the toilet or into the sink. That's the most ridiculously common sense thing I've ever heard. Woman announces she lived next door to Hitler, which allows the Irish Daily Star to give us the headline, I lived right next door to Hitler. Fair enough. And Rebecca Black, do you remember Rebecca Black? We're talking about cheese and musical cheese this morning. She had her song, Friday was the big song, and it was kind of a bit of a laughing stock of a song, wasn't it?
It's Friday, Friday, gotta get down on Friday. Everybody's looking forward to the weekend, Friday, Friday.
Okay, that's enough for that, but she's reflecting on her life now. It's the nine-year anniversary of that song, Friday, telling fans in a heartfelt note that she's learned over the years in response to the bullying and hardships she's endured. She said that it was the music video's anniversary, and that she wishes she could go back to her little 13-year-old self and talk to her, because she was terribly ashamed of herself and afraid of the world. She obviously had a terrible time as a result of the song, and people said very, very mean things about her, but she's fighting back, and people are now being nice to her again and saying, give her a chance. Touch the Lewinsky's about that. She's, fought back, and people have great, respect for her is definitely one way of putting it, and for the situation she was in. Ellie O'Byrne tells us in The Examiner, again, I'm going there because the music venue of the year was announced. The intimate Cork venue, Coughlan's of Douglas Street, has won the All Ireland Award for Best Music Venue, handed out by the Irish Music Rights Organisation, IMRO, obviously. It's the second time it has won the accolade. I'm embarrassed to say I haven't been there, But I'm delighted for them because it's a good award to receive. Following the win, Adele Curtin, who's the owner and manager, said the second win was all the sweeter for the team at the music venue that prides itself on its respect for musicians and its welcoming atmosphere. Well, we'll have to check it out next time we're in Cork. So congratulations to her and indeed to Angela Dorgan, who is the CEO of First Music Contact, recognised for her outstanding contribution to Irish music. Well done, Angela. Good on you. And Mike the Pies in Listowel, County Kerry, got the Imro Munster Live Music Venue of the Year 2019. So it's a nice little night out for everyone there, obviously. And not a little night, big night out. And that's all covered substantially in the Irish Examiner today. You might have heard us talking to Karen yesterday. She's the librarian in Monaghan who took her kids to all those cultural venues, to the Dead Zoo, to the Art Gallery, to the History Museum, all of these things. Anyway, we got a lovely message saying the OPW were listening in yesterday. Yes, they heard Karen speaking about going to the galleries and her mortified children who looked at the paintings and said they forgot to paint trousers onto the pictures. Anyway, Aisling from the OPW was in touch to offer a family heritage card to Karen and her family, giving them unlimited access to all the heritage sites in Ireland. What a nice... Do you know what? They're going to get bang for their buck on that one because they clearly love doing these things. Aisling says that in her 20 years as a tour guide, the best questions and the best observations always came from children, and they would stop you in your tracks with some of the comments. Well, I'm delighted to hear that. HeritageIreland.ie, if you want to get a list of what they do and what we do and what's available and what's free, it's just wonderful. Some free, some not free, but the OPW do terrific work, so well done to them. Tadhg O'Mahony got on to us from Cork City Fire Brigade to say about 15 years ago, we in the Cork City Fire Brigade attended a flooding incident during the night at the Crawford Art Gallery, which we've been raving about all week. He says that when we arrived, we were met with water flowing down the walls and the central staircase. All doors to the upper level were closed. We acted fast and started to remove paintings and artefacts from the wall to protect them from damage. We eventually found the source of the flooding in the attic, where a huge water tank had collapsed, leading to a continuous supply of water flooding the gallery. We stopped this and returned to the fire station. Subsequently, a couple of days later, we received a commendation for going above and beyond the call of duty for our actions, which saved the art of Cork City from the curator of the Crawford Art Gallery. Thought you might like to know this as you were there recently. What a great story. The fire brigade saved the day and protected the art on the walls of the Crawford Gallery. And Nessa's been on, so to be fair, once heard as a burp, it'll always be a burp. Shall we one more time with feeling?
Sick of leaving in the morning with the night you gave away.
Well, you know, it's juvenile, but it's kind of mildly diverting. The burp in Angel Eyes, says Sharon, is my favourite part of the song. I always join in that part of the song. Well done. You could probably say the alphabet has a burp too. There are always talented guys in school who could do things like that. And that says, my mum used to paint clothes on the ladies who were scantily clad in every book she had in the house. She must have read a lot of steamy books. That was in the late 60s. Elsewhere, Gwen was on to say, good morning. You can get to 119 if you meet the right person. I met a great guy a couple of years ago and he makes me laugh so much that I feel I'm getting... 119 years old. Right, gotcha. I'm getting younger each year since we met. I'll be in the full Benjamin Button if we stay together. I'll be in a nursery when I'm older instead of a nursing home. Happy Valentine's to all. Well said, Gwen. You've got great taste. No doubt about it. James in Tip says, how often do you see those no hand wash guys sick? Never. Build up the immune system. Yeah, well, let's not encourage it either. Jerry in Galway, late friend of the family who lived to a ripe old age, said the secret to a long life was to choose your ancestors wisely. Yeah, well, there's truth in that too. And Luke in Tipperary says, my wife rang me yesterday from a hotel in Wicklow. The car won't start. I think it's the battery. So I said, maybe it's the coronavirus. Oh, I see. Very good. Okay, for having gags. All right, then. I think given all this talk of Marty Pello, it would be remiss not to start our show musically this way. It's Wet, Wet, Wet. Marty Pello joining us on the Late Late Show Valentine special tomorrow alongside Chesney Hawks, the one and only, and many more besides. There's a new band called The Who, and you think I'm being smart, don't you? But no, they're Mongolian. It's spelled H-U. And Neil McCormick gives them 4 stars after their concert at the Electric Ballroom in London the other night. The Who, H-U, probably pronounced The Hue or something else, are the biggest Mongolian throat-singing heavy metal band in the world. To be fair, he writes, it's a niche genre, a quartet of classically trained musicians from Ulaanbaatar. The Who have ripped through the usually sedate enclaves of world music by amping up the droning melodies of their Eastern folk culture with the pummeling drums and electric thunder of Western hard rock. Travelogue videos that make Mongolia look like a setting for a sci-fi apocalypse have attracted tens of millions of views for The Who. H-U. Their debut album reached number 21 in the UK last year, number 2 in the Specialist Rock and Metal chart. Elton John has declared himself a fan, which is when you really know you've made it into the mainstream. They'll be duetting, he writes, with Ed Sheeran before long. Any road, all four members of The Who are masters of the art of Mongolian throat singing. I want to hear it immediately. In which vocalists use the mouth as a kind of echo chamber to create multiple microtones. Shall we have a little listen? This sounds intriguing. We'll give it a go. We'll give it 20 seconds plus and then we'll leave it. I've no idea what's going to happen here. I haven't heard it, but I'm absolutely intrigued. Cultorian there at the end. That's folky and rocky and complete. Does anyone hear what I heard there at the beginning of this? Ain Fokalela, do you remember? Or the Macarena. Anyway, that's The Who. Hey, you. Look them up online. Have a look at the state of them. They look great. I'd say that's quite some gig, though, in fairness. My mother says a text used to get me to draw clothes onto the models on the Sunday World newspaper. Good God. We'd come home on a Sunday morning from Mass. I thought this was great, like designing clothes for the models to wear. My brothers, however, who are a good few years older than me, did not find it funny in any way. And after being in Mass that morning and having their morals polished, they needed something when they got home to bring their morals back down to a decent, low level. There were many houses around the country. I look forward to the reading all the news in the Sunday World, just buried neatly under the other Sunday paper, the Sunday Press on top, Sunday World underneath, just for the news, just want to see what's happening in the news.
The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1.
Poor Gordon, I feel sorry for anyone coming into the studio between strepsils and tissues and all sorts of snuffling. The poor guests will probably go off going, I caught something from somewhere. It is I. I mentioned Shandon Sweets the other day because did I tell you we were in Cork this week? Years ago I went up to see this place called Shandon Sweets and I was asking aloud, are they still there? Because I saw them making clove rock and apple drops and I was fascinated by it. And anyway, it turns out I was very glad to get communication from Donal O'Keefe, journalist, who said that he had written a piece for the Irish Examiner about Shandon Sweets some years ago. And it's still going. It's great. It's located on John Redmond Street, under the shadow of St. Anne's on Shandon, founded in 1929 by Jimmy. And then Danny took over. And then Tony took over. So it's a lovely family business. A few years ago, a fire caused all the damage, just like the Crawford Gallery. Thankfully, the Cork Fire Brigade came in. Building was gutted, but they got the insurance covered, full refurbishment, and now it looks like new, and it's got interior neon bright and lemon sherbet yellow. I mean, what other classy yellow could you have in a sweet factory like that? Copper pans, steel tables, Victorian moulding machines, equipment as old as the recipes used, even in the 21st century, all survived the blaze. Great. And a glance at the shop counter reveals timeless favourites as beloved now as back in 1929. Bullseyes, clove rocks, pear drops, apple drops and cough drops. Don't want the cough drops, weirdly, but the pear and apple drops, which taste like markers smell, are always good. And except they rip the top of your mouth off, as will the apple drop if incorrectly eaten. But delicious. And well done to Shandon Sweets, and I hope you're all thriving, and we'll see you next time when we get there to say hello at 7 minutes to 10.
to let you know you're one of my kind.
Good man. Some of the brightest, most inventive people are dyslexic, including your speaker there. Thank God we're all unique pegs, or the world would be a depleted place, says Breed. And a lovely one from Alan. He says, I'm 42 from Swords. I'm also dyslexic and went through hell in school. I just want to call my mother Margaret and to help for helping me read, write and spell every day after school. I would have been lost without her. If it was not for my mum, I would not be I would not have known how to write a letter, is the point Alan's making there. Thank you for that. This story, meanwhile, is so similar to mine. We need to keep talking about dyslexia. I found school so hard, and still at 39 I'm terrified of exams. We don't look after dyslexic kids enough. I wish these schools were around when I was a kid, but we do survive and we tend to be much better grafters and we work hard. Yeah, that's definitely the feeling you'd receive from chatting to Gordon. Lisa Davey was on. My son Owen was diagnosed with severe dyslexia at the age of 8 and he struggled hugely with literacy skills, even with resource hours. St. Oliver Plunkett School was the best thing that ever happened to him. He's 15, currently doing his junior cert mock exams now and studying higher level English. I really hope these schools remain open. They do such incredible work. So well done. I'm astonished, as a text from Philip, saying, listening to Gordon Goodwin on the show this morning. I've known him for years and I had no idea he has dyslexia. Well, as the theme we've been hearing is, you're good grafters. You can get away. You can hide. You don't have to be exposed to somebody who has it. And there's nothing wrong with having it, but some people prefer not to talk about it. So that's why it's healthy to talk about it. Tell you what, you like the Who. That's the H-U-Who that I was talking about a little earlier on. Will we go out with a little bit of the Who? Mike says, "Jeez, those boys are human didgeridoos. They're Mongolian." Banging tune, says Ian Rose. Well said, Ian. Banging tune. Whiff of the Eurovision. You know those? What was the name of those crazy horses from Finland? Lordy. It goes kind of a folky Irish. Anyway, that's the Who. They got a good 4-star review this morning. They're obviously very, very good at what they do. And yeah, you can watch them online. Apparently, they're intriguing to look at. That's where we're going to leave it for today. Stay tuned for Sean O'Rourke. Have a great old day. Thank you for listening.
The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1.